All right, continuing our circle of guests here on Inside Ivy Hoops. Happy to have on the expert hotline. He is the second-year head coach of Cornell men's basketball. And Cornell visiting Columbia Saturday night, 7 o'clock in New York City. And the coach himself, Brian Errol of Cornell, joining us. Coach, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your path getting here. I mean, you're a 1999 Princeton grad. You know, you were Ivy Player of the Year, then you were an assistant coach, associate head at Princeton for 9 years. Obviously, you enjoyed the Ivy League. Can you just tell us kind of how you ended up here?
Right, yeah. I went to Princeton, played, as you said, and graduated in 99, and then played a little bit overseas and in the United States for a year or two, and eventually went into the working world a little bit. And then in 2007, I guess, one of my former teammates got the job back at Princeton, Sidney Johnson, who's now at Fairfield, and came back with him, and we sort of turned the boat around a little bit and stayed there for another one of my teammates, Mitch Henderson, taking over until two seasons ago when I got the job here at Cornell. So I've had a run in the Ivy League, but more specifically at Princeton up until the last couple years.
Coach, describe to us working with your former teammates, two teammates there in Sidney Johnson and Mitch Henderson. And was it kind of like the old times? Was it reacclimating? Describe to us that relationship in working with those two gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. We're sort of 20-year friends now, and that makes you almost like brothers. And so I thought we had a really good relationship. I think they leaned on me a lot, and I could be really honest, which is important in that position. And the decision stopped with them, obviously. But I think when you played and in some high pressure situations together, and you can, it sort of translates over to working together. I think it's that thing that a head coach needs, is to be able to lean on someone to tell it like it is, and so it was good from that perspective. I think they gave me a lot of responsibility, and it was a lot like as close as you can get to being old teammates, I think, in any profession, and so it worked well.
In your recruiting process, you know, what drew you to the Ivy League? If there were other, you know, maybe scholarship schools on the offer on the table,
as a player,
yes.
You know, I think you just, a lot of times it's circumstances, and I had an older brother who was a really highly recruited point guard who ended up playing at Penn State, but he could have gone to Stanford, maybe Indiana, Northwestern. So he was a top probably 10 point guard in his class, and I was a couple years younger, a couple years smaller, and I actually ended up getting injured, and so I fell off the map a little bit. And by that point, he had been through 2 years of Penn State, and you know, sort of, I learned a little bit from his experience, and I knew that things could be really good at any place as long as you put in the work. And so you see what an Ivy League degree can do, and I sort of put two and two together and said, we can make this whatever we want it to be. And on top of that, you're graduating with an Ivy League degree. And so a little bit of advice from him and the lay of the land, how it went for me was an injury and sort of the most important summer of your recruitment going into your senior year. And when I finally came back, I was starting to get a bunch of scholarship offers, but I decided to stick between Penn and Princeton at the time.
Brian, looking at your journey, as we mentioned, describing your past coaching experience, and now let's fast forward to you getting the head coaching position at Cornell. Describe to us the path that you got to Cornell. What drove you to want to come to Ithaca and to take over the Big Red?
Yeah, I think it was just a great opportunity. It was a great fit. It's a, you know, the Ivy League is its own special animal with what you have to do in recruiting and admissions and the battles you fight, not battles, but the amount of time and dedication that your student athletes have to pay to classwork. And then you're asking them to put in a lot more time and commitment to basketball. And I think that's a nuance that not everyone can pick up quickly. And some people don't understand when they're sort of sitting back from afar that, you know, some of these people are writing 45-page papers in the spring of their senior year, and they have projects, and they're doing all this stuff while juggling the conference season or the regular season. And so it is, I think, when you say student-athlete, across our league, these people are putting the work in academically, and you're asking them to do the same amount as some other schools are doing on the court. And so, you know, you get a certain type of kid, a pretty exceptional kid at these schools. And I think Cornell, for me, just was a little bit more the same from that perspective. But then I also thought, you know, from afar, and I was probably correct, that it's probably the biggest and sort of most diverse and most college-like feel of the Ivy Leagues. It reminded me a lot of Penn State when I would go to see my brother, and Princeton wasn't like that, and I know driving through a couple of the other Ivies wasn't like that. So I think it was a good opportunity to sort of dip my toe in the water from that perspective.
Coach, what would you say is your biggest takeaway? Obviously, that last year, your first year, it's always a whirlwind and a blur. You talk to any first-year head coach. Were the things that now in your second year, you know that you've learned from your first year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's what you learn is it's difficult. People will always tell you it you know, it's so difficult changing the culture, and what that says is basically things are going wrong. And I don't know if I think it's more that things are going to change. And even if you went from, in my situation at Princeton, from one of my teammates to another one of my teammates, there are so many things that are just different. Between two guys who played together for 3 years as coaches. And so when you come into a program, just almost everything that goes by day to day is a little different than the previous staff. And so there is a culture change. And again, it's not from bad to good. It's just different. And so you fight through that for the first whole year, and we're still learning some things about how we can you know, make sure the culture's coming in our way as much as possible.
I always say Rome wasn't built in a day, right?
right, exactly.
And so a player that I would love to hear about is that you inherited is Matt Morgan, who is currently leading the league in scoring. And I'm pretty sure, I think he's sixth in the country in scoring. Can you talk about his, you know, growth and his development?
Yes, you know, he is a tremendous scorer. I think he's led the league the past two seasons in scoring as well. He works hard at, you know, his shooting, his ability to get shots off, because as he keeps progressing here, people are making him take harder shots. I think what he takes real pride in is his shooting percentage now. And it's not about how many points. I think it's about the effectiveness of his shots. And he's improved his 2-point percentage. He's improved his 3-point percentage. I think he's a guy, you know, I play with a lot of guys who love seeing how many points they score, but it was in my mind, it's like, what did it take to get you those points? And I think Matt falls into that category of really wanting to see the ball go in, not just seeing the ball go towards the rim for him. And so he's done a good job in becoming more efficient in his shot selection. And he's such a focal point of other teams' defenses that he also does a really good job of sort of giving himself up on a cut or something like that to get the next guy open for a shot that they can make.
And Coach, you're coming off of the, you know, the Penn-Princeton, that it's a brutal road trip. It's on the men's side and the women's side, because both of those teams are usually towards the top of the league. And, you know, you competed with Penn 69-61. Can you tell us about the end of that game?
Yeah, I mean, we hung in there for most of the game. It's a tough environment to play, obviously, for years it has been. They're a really solid team. They take pride in their defense. We had some lapses defensively, which we are continually trying to fix. And then, you know, we cut the lead down to probably four, maybe the two towards the end of the game. Admittedly, they missed a lot of foul shots toward the end, so I think some of that they're going to try to correct on the line. But, you know, I think we kept fighting. It was a strange game where it was about 65 degrees. The palestra was really hot. It's the first time I've been soaked in a suit.
Oh, like really hot temperature-wise, got it.
Right, yeah, which is an excuse, but it's a strange sort of change of gears. We went from it being 5 degrees in Ithaca, and now you're playing in the sauna. And it was a battle, and I think both teams were trying to figure that out and going to their bench a little more than maybe we do usually. And so it was fun to play in that environment. I love playing there. We battled, and hopefully we can come up with a win up in Ithaca.
Looking towards your game versus at Columbia coming up on Saturday, you're both going to be battling for your first Ivy win. What are going to be kind of some of the keys to get a W up there?
Right.
Down there.
I love how you skipped the Princeton result. That's a great segue.
I used to be a coach, so I kind of know how to walk on eggshells a little bit, but no.
Yeah. I'm trying to black that out of my mind. Columbia, they are, I think, a lot similar to what we are, a second-year head coach and Coach Engels, and he's still trying to get all his points across and get the culture to be where he wants it to be. And similar to us, they also have a great guard in Mike Smith, and Quinn Adlish is also a real threat. And so, I think we have to continue to believe in our defense, and we're a work in progress on that end of the floor. We've had a couple injuries to guys who could probably help us on that side of the ball. But we don't have them, and so we're trying to piece together. We've had a pretty good time scoring for the most part until this past weekend, but I think we really want to figure out what we can do to slow Columbia down, make sure they're taking the shots we want them to take, and then figure out the offense when it comes to us.
Brian Earle, head coach of Cornell men's basketball, the Big Red taking on Columbia Saturday night, 7:00. In New York City. Coach, we appreciate the insight. Thanks so much for coming on Inside Ivy Hoops.
Thank you both. I really appreciate it.
Oh, what a great podcast we had today. Episode 3 in the books. Big thanks to our guests, Allison Guth, head coach of Yale women's basketball, George Clark from Ivy Hoops Online, also Brian Earle, head coach of Cornell men's basketball. We're just getting all the big time names, Jill, aren't we?
We are, and it's only episode 3, Brad.
What is going to come up next? Well, you'll have to find out when we'll have another new episode of Inside Ivy Hoops next week. Big thanks to our guests. Big thanks to Ivy Hoops Online for letting us do this as always. And until next time, enjoy the Ivy Hoops. We'll see you next time.